So throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And that's partly why we're doing summer fun with geography today. So you have a chance to connect with each other on some of those fun and lighthearted kinds of ways. And it's especially great for new people, we hope, that you'll go out there and you'll be able to meet some new people as well. So connecting to God and one another. And in this season, we're talking about specifically connecting to Jesus, the power of hope. Last week, I know Pastor Tammy talked about hope. And today we look at how Jesus is with us in the midst of our temptations. Now, maybe you never have any temptations in life. So maybe I'm just going to be preaching to myself and one or two others of you. But today we look at Jesus in the midst of temptations and what he does. We also are going to first hear a little passage from the book of James, in which the writer talks about how our hearts are sometimes at war with itself and with what God wants of us. And that when that's the case, we're even more vulnerable to giving in to temptations. So we're going to begin with that little James passage, and then in a moment, hear the little passage and a message about Jesus being with us in our temptations.
The first scripture reading is from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and can be found on page 230 in the Pew Bibles or on the screen. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war with you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers! Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. The word of God for the people of God.
This little passage from Mark chapter 1. And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, O God, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. This day we pray, for you indeed are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So there was a minister who parked her car in a no parking zone in a large city because she was short of time and she couldn't find a space with a parking meter. So she put a note under the windshield wiper that read, "I've circled this block 100 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Forgive us our trespasses." When she returned, she found a citation from a police officer along with this note: "I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." I was thinking about temptations and what it's like when I give in to them. And then I got to thinking about going hiking. And, you know, many of you know Art and I really like to hike. And, of course, this time of year you get pretty sweaty and hot, even if you start out early in the morning. And one day this week, actually we were gone this week, so it was a little cooler where we were hiking. But even so, we got back and I was sitting on the couch and I thought, whoa, I can't stand myself. Something needs to be done. Well, it's easy to do something about that. Right? When you're smelly and sweaty, you get rid of the smelly, dirty clothes, you wash up, you put on new clothes. It's better now, right? It's not as easy to do something when our I can't stand myself, or the lesser, more common, I'm unhappy with myself, or I'm uneasy or frustrated or disturbed with myself, comes from within us. It's not as easy. But it's this, and you know, that can happen for many, many reasons. But it's especially hard when those thoughts come because we know we've given in to temptations. When we've given in to things that harm ourselves or our connections, our relationships with other people, or with God. Temptations. Well, you name them. They're going through your head right now, aren't they? Things that harm our bodies. Too little or too much food. Wrong food. Too little, too much drink. Addictions. Too little or too much exercise. You think about temptations that harm our relationships. Swearing, lashing out, trying to control others. The list is long. I'm tempted to. Our temptations are many. And when we have given in to temptations, or sometimes even when we want to, and we have that I'm so uneasy with myself feeling. You know what I'm talking about here, right? When we have that, I gave in to that and I have this really uneasy feeling about myself inside of me. Sometimes that can spill out into blaming other people. Blaming other people, spilling out in our actions when we feel uneasy or disturbed about what we've done. It can lead to blaming other people for what we've done. You know what I'm talking about here. Sometimes it can spill out into being sure I'm right. Being rigid and being unwilling to change or grow or listen to somebody who's trying to correct us or help us. No, I'm right. Because we have that very uneasy, disturbed, frustrated feeling within ourselves. Sometimes it can spill out into keep on doing what we're doing, expecting different results. And sometimes, because we've done it once, it's easy to keep giving in to temptations, and we get that awful feeling, and then we give in again. It can be easy to do that. I think about this little quote from Henry Nouwen, that priest, writer, theologian. He says, over the years, I've come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is not success or popularity or power, but self-rejection. Success and popularity and power can indeed present a great temptation, but their seductive quality often comes from the way they are part of the much larger temptation to dislike ourselves. And so the summary of this is that our hearts are not at peace, but at war with ourselves and sometimes with others. I know what this is like, and I imagine that you do too. And you know what it's like? It's like I'm lost. I'm lost in I can't stand myself. Like when I needed that shower after a hike. I can't stand myself. I'm frustrated and discontent and disconnected. I'm lost and my heart is not at peace. Now, the writer of the book of James long ago knows that, knows about this. And he says, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? That's what he says. We become disconnected from God and others that we love and who love us, and we are lost. And we know that something needs to be done. Our hearts need peace, and we need to be found. We need to be made new. What if we learn to do something right before, right when the temptations present themselves, not afterwards? What if we learn to do something right when the temptations present themselves, before we're even deeply tempted to give in to them? What if we learned that moment when it begins to present itself and we know what to do. How can this happen? How can we resist the temptations that when we give in to them result in this terrible uneasiness within us, this I can't stand myself kind of feeling, a heart at war with ourselves and others? How can we get to a place of peace within in our hearts? Not surprisingly, it's Jesus who shows us the way. In this little passage from Mark, we meet Jesus in the wilderness, like where we are when we are not standing ourselves, kind of lost. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. He was there 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts. And then angels came and ministered to him. He's tempted by Satan and with the wild beasts. That's where we sometimes find ourselves, right? With the wild beasts. Now, the same story in the Gospel of Luke has more to it. And I want to share a little bit with you. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days without food. Imagine that. And the devil comes and tempts him and says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones. This is in the Gospel of Luke. Turn these stones into bread. And, you know, Jesus is in a vulnerable place, right? He's hungry. Turn these stones into bread. He's very hungry. And Jesus knows that moment of temptation. And instead of giving into it, he says, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. He quotes Scripture. He's hungry, and there's this moment of tension and sparring, but he draws upon Scripture. One does not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. Well, the devil then takes him to a high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and he says, if you will worship me, I will give you all of this. If you'll give in to me, I'll give you things. Give in to my power. We know the power of evil, don't we? We know the power of it. And Jesus is tempted to give in to the power of that evil. Worship me, and I'll give you things. He's hungry, and there's this moment of tension, and Jesus draws again on Scripture, worship only God and serve only him. Then the devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and says, if you're the Son of God, just throw yourself down and angels will save you. You can do anything you want. And God will save you. This is really the ultimate temptation, to trust only yourself. You can do anything to yourself or others and God will save you. That's what the devil was telling Jesus in that moment. And he's hungry and there is a moment of tension. But Jesus draws again on Scripture and says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. That causes the devil to leave. And we're told in the next verse, Jesus was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the story of Jesus' temptations in the Gospel of Luke. What does this mean for us? When we are lost, when we're at war with ourselves and not at peace, when we're tempted to say or do things that would harm ourselves or others. What if we took this wisdom from Jesus, who resisted the temptations when they were right there in front of him when he was vulnerable and hungry? What if we took from his wisdom and learned from him? Picture this. What does Jesus show us when he's faced with the tempter, when he's hungry and vulnerable, who wants him to not stand himself? That's what the tempter wants. The tempter wants to get inside of him and make it so he can't stand himself, do harmful things in response to that. Jesus turns from the tempter, and he relies on words from Scripture. Hungry? One does not live by bread alone. Those are Jesus' words. What are we hungry for sometimes? Food? Other things? We're hungry sometimes? Connections with other people? Connections maybe that are unhealthy at times? And the Scripture says, remember, one does not live by that stuff alone that you fill your body with. Alcohol? Other things? One does not live by those things alone, but by the Word of God. Worship things? Worship only God, Jesus says. This, the second temptation, is about idolatry. About worshiping things other than God makes us lost and wondering and wandering, disturbed with ourselves. I think one of the things that becomes so idolatrous today is 24-hour news. Now, you can chuckle or smile about that, and I don't care which end of the political spectrum you're on. 24-hour news, if you sit in front of it, it becomes idolatrous. It becomes your worship. I hear people all the time say, she sits in front of that all the time. She sits in front of that all the time. I hear people admit it themselves. They'll say, oh, I watched you fill in the blank channel. I watched that for 6 hours today. What's that like? To fill ourselves with those things and begin to worship the gods of TV news. How that shapes us. C.S. Lewis said, whatever their bodies do affects their souls. It's funny how mortals always picture us putting things into our minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. Is this turning my heart away from God and toward other things? Am I making things out of people for my own gain? That's what happens when we become idolatrous, when we worship something other than God. And the third temptation is about power. I can do anything. And Jesus says, do not put God to the test. Jesus' words. When we're lost, when we can't stand ourselves, Jesus invites us to turn to Scripture. It's that simple. Jesus invites us to turn to Scripture. And then there's something else. Most of all, Jesus invites us to turn to Jesus, who is always there. You've heard me talk before about how I can rely on Jesus being right here on my right shoulder, the Spirit of the living Christ, right here. When I'm tempted, I turn my head this way. Doesn't mean I always don't give in. But I turn my head this way because the living Christ is here with me. He is like the angels that came to care for him. That's what he's like for us. And sometimes that comes to us in the form of other people. You have angels in your lives, don't you, who help you resist temptations, who are guides and friends for you? In those people and in Jesus himself, he is there. Turn to him when we are tempted. Think, here's Jesus, my companion, my friend, my finder, when I'm most lost. The one who turns, I can't stand myself, into beloved one. Beloved one. Who gives us the power to resist evil and temptations and turns our hearts from one of warring to one of peace. Turn from temptation and Jesus is there. Now, maybe we can't turn our can't stand myself warring hearts all at once. Maybe we just take one, maybe one thing. When we're tempted, say, I worship only God. You can say it out loud if you want, or you can say it to yourself. I worship only God. Four words. I worship only. And see what peace that brings. When we turn to Jesus in time of temptation and say, I worship only God. And the lost is found. And peace descends upon our hearts. And it takes practice to each time say, I worship only God. When we have a lost and a warring heart, it takes all of our energy and our time. We know this, don't we? When our hearts are at war, it takes all of our energy and our time that we could better spend doing other things. When our hearts are at peace, we can serve God better with Jesus at our side. And Jesus is there to help us, a step at a time. One step today, you will step up here to the table of Christ Jesus. And in it you will be strengthened and turning when you go back, say, I seek to worship only God. Only God. What God wants for us is for us to turn from those things that would harm us and be with Jesus and to be in a place of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.